Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. This episode is really special. Ted and I had one of our tutors, Elise, on to discuss her artwork today. So Elise does line drawing at the moment specifically, and she has set up her own business. So it's EA Arts. Or ea.arts on Instagram, or you can find her at elisabottomme.com, and I will put all of those links up as well. But it was super special because we were able to sit down and have a chat about the other things that Elise does in her life and where she has taken her business so far and what her plans are for the future. So jump in, have a listen. It's absolutely fascinating. Ted and I really, really enjoyed having a chat to Elise and recording this episode, and we really hope that you guys will enjoy it too.
Breakaway.
Today we're going to talk about art. Is that okay?
Yeah, we're going to have a chat about art today. So we have the wonderful Elise in here. Now, Elise has been a tutor with us at Breakaway Tuition for a while now. 3 years?
Yeah, coming up on 3 years.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe that it's 3 years already. Yeah. That time's gone so fast.
Yeah,
very super fast. So yeah, Elise has been a tutor here with us for 3 years. And so, a little bit of background story. I originally assisted Elise with her English HSC stuff, and I knew she was into art then. I knew that she was very focused on her art at that time, but I didn't know that she was still doing her art now, and she had created a business using her art either, which I am very proud of her, but she didn't tell me. But nonetheless, so my understanding of your art is it's all line art?
Yeah, so it's usually all one line. So just put the pen on and then don't lift again until you finish the...
What happens if you lift the pen?
Oh, nothing really, but okay. I find you get a good flow.
What inspired you? Okay, well, it seems pretty specific. What inspired you to do something like that?
I got into doing line drawing when I was 14.
Okay.
And it was by an art teacher at school who introduced it to me. I have quite an arty family, so my grandfather and my uncle are fine artists. They're very detailed and
very fancy.
Yeah. And I would get so frustrated that I couldn't paint like them.
Yep.
And my art teacher introduced me to line drawing and said, I think this could be a good alternative, because I really, really wanted to be able to find something that was my own, but was very inspired by my family and doing something like that. So yeah, she showed me line drawing and said, have a go. Showed me how to do it.
Oh, fantastic. And so my understanding with your line drawing is that you pick people that you have met around the place, and that's what your line drawing is currently built on. Is that right?
Yes, sort of.
Yeah.
Mostly I will do sort of a drawing, and then it'll make me think of someone, or something like that, remind me of a person, so then I'm named after that person, or some of them are named after songs and things, and just what I was listening to at the time or something.
That's
like
such
that.
A super talent.
It's really cool, because I was looking at your website and I could see that you have like named your drawings and you have like a little backstory, and I really loved that. I thought that that's such a fantastic way to do it. Not that I'm artist or I'm arty or anything, but I just thought that that really added a really nice dimension to what you're creating and why you're creating it. Can you do like line drawings of anything, or like I've noticed like yours is faces or individuals, but can you do line drawings of anything?
I have been getting a little bit more into drawing other things, like objects. Like I did a tree not too long ago, which was on the website as well. And I have been practicing just things around the house, things I can see.
Yep.
But yeah, mostly I do the faces. And,
just pulled up your Facebook page, Elise.
Yes.
Quickly, because I'm going to go through it more in depth. But wow, you're a very talented person.
Thank you very much.
And to everyone who's listening out there, you know who you are. The Facebook page, Elise, is Elise Bottomy Arts. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
But mostly you can find everything at elisabottomy.com.
Elisabottomy.com.
And Instagram is actually EA Arts, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll make sure that we absolutely plug this properly, because I'm looking at this artwork right now. You've got hats too.
It's fantastic. So I actually have a t-shirt at home I love. It fits really well too. I'm like, not impressed, but I bought one of Elise's t-shirts.
I'm
going
to buy a t-shirt.
The bag that she dropped off the other day, because I always take new Calico bags.
Yeah.
And I have a most glorious mug.
I have to say,
my favorite mug. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Your stuff is insane. It's very good. And what a
thank you.
Crazy rare talent. I can't do that at all. I'm just going on the website now and having a look. Everyone who's listening needs to absolutely jump on and have a look. ElisaBottomy.com. It's very hip. It's very in. She's doing things like hats. She's doing things like mugs. I'm going to get that mug. That mug right
there.
Is that
the mug I have?
Ava mug.
Is a little bit different to your one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. It's straight up amazing. An absolute work of art.
Show me. Can I add more mugs?
The $16 one?
No. Jeez. My one has like faces all over it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
I
love
that
one. Yeah. I love the colour because it's like
thank you.
Mint greeny.
Yeah. People have got to jump on board because she's out of stock on one of her items. Yeah. So hurry up. Get it done. Done. That's amazing that you're talking about your art like that. And I think it's such a rare thing to do it. You've spoken a little bit about what's inspired you, so your family. Do you watch Bob Ross?
No.
Okay. I watch Bob Ross and I always sit there and I think, I could do that tree.
Who is Bob Ross?
What?
Like, you have to show me.
Who's Bob Ross?
Yeah,
Bob Ross is like, besides Elise, the top artist, or at least it was, the top artist on the planet. He would draw these amazing landscapes and he would make it look so easy. So one day I decided, I'm going to do it. It's fine. I like wet the canvas or whatever. And I can't do it.
The many talents of Ted.
Straight up cannot do it. Well, that is not a talent. Okay. Straight up cannot do what he can. And seeing Elise. And, you know, it's so interesting. I had no idea that you had such an artistic interest. Because, I mean, granted, I've only known you for a few months and probably only really spoken to you properly maybe 3 times. And I had absolutely no idea. So, there you go.
I had no idea. And I've worked with her for 3 years.
Yeah,
what's the deal, Elise? Oh,
my goodness. All of this talent to herself. My goodness.
Elise, can I just ask you a question quickly? How do you think, let's specifically say your art, how do you think that might impact the lives of kids or people in general?
In terms of me doing it or...
In terms of their experience.
Of looking at it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that... From the people that I've spoken to about my art,
yep.
They always seem to find something in it themselves, which I really love.
Yeah.
Telling me something about it. I did a drawing for my high school group of friends when I was in high school, and it had the number of faces that there were in our group. It was 11.
Mm.
But I didn't say who was who. So I sat them down and they were trying to pick it out, and I loved seeing them. Oh, that's definitely me. Look at that. Like the way that the eye looks like this. And so I really like how people kind of draw their
that's
own things from.
Almost draw on their own experiences in their lives and are able to associate that to your art.
Yeah.
It's
so
incredible.
I really
love
that.
So, all right, I'll just listen to this all day.
I'm just going to ask another random question. So obviously, so you said it's like one line, so you drew it once. So how... Are you forming the image in your mind first and by thinking about what you're trying to create looks like before you do it? Or is it like a one take thing, or do you have to do it a few times to get it?
I think that if I plan it out in my head too much, I get frustrated and I can't, it doesn't look as
yeah.
So that's just nice one thing. Wow.
Yeah, so
that's
I just
cool.
I try not to plan too much because then
wow.
I find that it
that's crazy.
Doesn't look good.
That's
good.
Not planned.
That's crazy.
On
that's
your
crazy.
Website, that's not planned.
Just whatever happens on the page, kind of.
That's really cool. That's absolutely incredible.
I'm actually like I don't know what to say.
And I feel like that's one of like the most abstract art forms in a way because like if you're creating like a watercolor or a painting or you know if you're creating any other image, generally you go back and edit it and add color and add something else here and add something else there. It's not something that you just sit down and do once and that's it. Which is
yeah.
why it's so fascinating that, yeah.
It's just so
but,
fascinating.
Isn't it?
I was like,
isn't
I don't
it?
Know where to go with this.
No,
now.
Because
I can talk
it's
about
like,
it
yeah, that's absolutely
I'm not much of an artist, I'll be honest with you.
I'm a stick figure artist.
I like to think of myself maybe a little bit above stick figures.
Oh, no,
maybe
I'm
just.
Stick
but, okay.
I've done a volcano once.
Yeah.
The kids were not impressed.
Yeah.
I was impressed. No one else was.
Oh, okay. Let's just move on. So you said that obviously whilst I was writing up this agenda that we're sort of trying to say, well, I started this sort of agenda thing. And
Ted thinks he starts agendas and then it all blows out the corners.
Well, pretty much, yeah. And I would assume that you might incorporate some colour into your work. Do you use colour?
I have been using colour more recently in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay. But
do you have a specific sort of colour you tend to go back to a little bit more or do you just sort of...
I just like bright. Bright colors.
Okay.
So the colors that you use then, and the ones that are colored, you've picked like that color pen or texter to use.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And does it? And this is going to make me sound really stupid, and I'm not patronizing at all here. But does like a color speak to you? Like if you laid out.
Patronizing.
If
that's
you,
a good question.
Yeah. Like if you laid out. I still don't want to be, I don't want to come across like that guy. I was like, you know, which colour speaks to you? You know? But if you had, say, blue, red, yellow, green, pink in front of you,
yeah.
When you look at that colour and before you begin your art, do you look at one colour and go, that's absolutely what I need to do today?
Yeah, I find that I pick up blue.
Hello?
You pick up blue
like,
more than other.
Yeah.
Why do you think? That's fascinating.
Oh.
How fascinating
is
that? Is
it like the calming?
I think it probably
is.
A pale but bright pink, it's like the colour is vibrant, but it's a paler colour would be the other one. And I didn't notice this. My mum actually noticed this, that I steer quite clear of red. There's not that much red.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Here's another question with those colours then. So if you're doing a line drawing of an individual, do you see people as like auras or like do you see people in colours that then translate to your like relationship with them and then how you would present them on a page? That's a really left of field question. But have you not heard of that before?
I wouldn't say that I see people as colours, but I definitely could associate colours
with people.
Yeah.
I find so that's really fascinating because I have had individuals before that see particular people as say the colour red and they're people that they don't actually get along with and they find are like threatening in a way, which like that's why I asked when you said that you don't use red because that's like is that something because you're not going to draw someone if you find them threatening, for example, are you? Because it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Sorry, really left of field question, but
that makes sense.
Okay, so
it's an Alicia question.
Can you on the spot? Can you associate a colour with Alicia or I?
Nothing like a bit of pressure, man.
No, pressure is what it's all about. You don't have to.
I think I've always associated you with purple, Alicia.
Really?
I think so.
Why is that? That's interesting.
What colour do you associate? What colour do you see me as, man?
Sorry, please go on. I'm sorry.
I have known you for quite a long time, so I think that's probably why.
I'm a bit nervous to ask what colour you would associate me with. And be completely honest, you don't even have to hide anything. As long as it's not like
black.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow. I like that. Why yellow? Because I reckon I know why.
This is so fascinating. I absolutely love talking to you about this stuff.
So, why yellow?
I don't know. It just popped in.
Okay. I reckon. So, yellow is a very joyful colour. And you're pretty joyful in
Do I be
color.
Joyful?
Yeah.
Well, you're joyful when you're here.
I can fix that.
Well, you weren't joyful today.
You weren't joyful today. I've seen you unjoyful, so... But that's really interesting.
There's a difference between unjoyful and just absolutely in the zone. It would have been a black today if you saw me. It would have been like a...
It was like...
Blood
black.
Red. well, I mean, okay. That's fascinating.
Not being mean.
That's fascinating.
Well, see, isn't that interesting?
Associating...
I would see you as like a mint green tealy colour.
You know what's interesting? I totally said green in my head. Totally. When you said mint green,
yeah,
I thought green.
That's what I see.
Is it true? That,
and you know why?
Yeah.
Because it's calming and you're a very calming individual.
She's very calming, yeah.
Very quiet.
I could definitely take some tips from you, I think. Like, here's the thing. When Alicia's hangry and I'm in the zone talking to whatever business person I'm talking to, it's dead silence in this room. And you can tell when she's super hangry and I'm super focused because the Spotify, it gets turned up to the point where you can't even hear your own thoughts anymore.
Well, I think this is the first time you've actually done any work, though, mind you.
I mean, I've been doing work.
Well, it's not that. We're just chatting about random stuff.
Well, the chatting is always important, I think, in life. So that's really interesting. Associating colour to a person.
You've
okay.
never ever done that before.
No, never. No, I'm very black and white, and that's a problem of mine, is that I'm a very black and white human being, and I like to see numbers and facts and make sure they correlate. And I envy the fact that you're able to kind of disconnect from that and take a more, I suppose you'd define it as more of a pure approach to life, you know? I'm very envious of that. I'm very proud of you.
Thank
but
you.
I'm envious. AF. Can I just say before we go on, sorry. I'm very interested to hear, based on all the information we've spoken about now, how you think this might... the use of colour might impact, say, a classroom of kids or might impact perhaps the students you have here within the centre?
Yeah, I have students that steer clear of the colour red as well.
That's interesting.
How
interesting is that?
That's really
I want to do part 2 to this, by the way.
It's really interesting, guys. Keep going, sorry, just interrupting you.
That's all right. And
sorry, boys.
No, that's okay. I find that the yellow room,
yeah.
I have students, if I've had them in the green room and the yellow room, they're far more productive in the yellow room.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What do you think they'd be like in this orange room? This very orange room?
Orange was confidence. That's what Salem said. That's why the orange
is
there. Because that orange
okay.
elicits confidence and the blue is supposed to be calming.
See, I'm colorblind. I can't tell a lot of colours. Well, I think I can, but apparently I can't. But in my happy little world, I just mosey along like the Smurf that I am. And I'm fine with it. But... my version of what's in front of me, the sort of orange colour to me, is confident and it's almost like a focal colour. Like I need to be in here and do my work. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's a bold colour.
Then how come that
a
lot of students
colour.
Come in and do their work?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'll try the yellow room.
Yeah, maybe you're happy. I'll shift offices.
I'll take the fancy office and you take the yellow room.
Oh,
no.
I'm taking your chair too.
I'll be back in a moment. At least this is amazing. Well, I'm so happy about this.
It's very,
hey, mate. How are you?
It's very interesting.
I'm
and like, back on the aura. So,
yeah.
I'm so passionate about this. So, because I do know individuals that actually see people in colours. Like, they see us walking around with colours. Or, like, our aura
yeah,
field
really
is
interesting.
Really
yeah, to hear, like, hearing about it. I'm
yeah.
hearing about it.
Yeah, but it's interesting that we also go towards a particular colour all the time. It's funny, though, like, red being alarming. All my notes I make
yeah.
are in red.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I always go for a red pen.
Yeah.
Would anyone like a candy cane?
That's a really weird question to have on no.
Sorry, I stepped out for a second.
The podcast episode.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Anyway, but yeah, so I mean, I write in red all the time. I don't know, maybe it's just like a teacher thing. But they say that you shouldn't mark in red, you should mark in a pencil so that kids aren't alarmed by the colour you use.
I always found it quite...
upsetting with red. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm a high school teacher, you all have red everywhere.
I used to take it a bit more personally when I was in high school, it was red.
Ooh, did I mark your stuff in red?
No, it was not. Good one, Alicia.
Hang on a second.
But like, when I saw things, if they were in red, I'd be like, oh.
Isn't that interesting? And that's what they reckon, the like psychology of the colour red and things, which makes sense because we have like stop signs and red lights and things.
Well, red, I suppose. For your attention. Yeah, it's like danger. It's an alarming colour.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like a don't drive across this intersection or you'll get run over type thing.
Yeah, so then why do I write everything in red then? I'm just alarmed.
That's a whole other... I would love to do a podcast on that. Episode on that and have Elise sitting here going, you know what, let's dissect that. I think that would be an amazing...
So, back on the track then. So, have you... done like art therapy stuff before?
No, I haven't.
Totally shouldn't. Like, wow.
Have you heard about art therapy?
Yeah, I have heard about it, and I have one of my mom's friends used art therapy in her line of work, but that's with adults.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting. Mm. I think it's becoming a bit more...
it's quite artsy, isn't it?
I think it's becoming more acceptable in terms of as a form of, like, therapy in the sense. And I think I have, like, researched it and looked at it previously because it's just what I do.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a good place for it in terms of... because the students are focusing on, or like the kids are focusing on the actual art, that they are more susceptible to like a counselling sort of session when they're focusing on something else at the same time. Maybe it's like something to do with opening subconscious mind and thoughts and those types of things, because consciously they're focused on something else.
Yeah.
And that's what I find the most fascinating about it. Is that the line, like something that you feel like perhaps you, like you could utilise down the track? Or
yeah, I think it could be definitely something that I could utilise. I've read that it is a very positive way of helping for AU students with anxiety.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, having them, I guess they would be... using the colours as well.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, right? Yeah, that's that comes back to the colours that you... And I guess as well, like, whatever the therapy session is on would be then perhaps tied into what they're creating during that, which then interprets all the colours and things as well.
Such an amazing... Listen, I'm going to have to step out, and I know the podcast is going to keep going without me. Elise, I've got to go and tutor now for people who are listening. I've really enjoyed sitting down and talking with you, and I hope Alicia keeps carrying this conversation on so I can listen to it afterwards, because I am unbelievably invested in this. I think it's amazing. So before I go and teach everyone, Elisa Bonomi's arts can be found on Facebook. Is it EA Arts on Instagram? So EA Arts on Instagram, go check it out, because I'm going to go totally subscribe after I finish the lesson. And the website. And what's the website called again?
ElisaBonomy.com.
ElisaBonomy.com. So that's a super easy website. So go check it out before everything sells out, because I did look before and there are items on a website that I were interested in that she's now out of stock with. So well done. I'm really glad to hear the bit, and keep telling me how the business is going, because that's totally my thing. And if you ever need any advice, I know bits and pieces. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Enjoy. I can't wait to hear the rest.
So that's really interesting, because I was also thinking, like, sorry, this conversation, we're getting back. I also think that something like line drawing, because it is so intricate in detail, would work well in something like art therapy too.
Yeah, I find don't know if this really relates, but I've been doing like time lapses of my drawings.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've sent them to my friends and said, oh, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh my gosh, I find it so calming.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah. And
I think I saw one the other day. Did you put one
I
up
did,
on
I posted
Instagram,
one. Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I did watch it several times because it was calming.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely, I think whether you're doing the art or
you're
experiencing
Yeah, so that's really interesting because I have seen lately a lot of those time-lapse videos and you can't not watch them.
Yeah.
You can't keep scrolling. June watches a lot of, is it like Indian art? Have you seen those ones? And they do like with all the dots of,
oh, yeah.
I don't know, it looks like powder.
Yeah.
And like all the little dots and it's like, yeah, you just have to watch it because you're just like, ooh, what's going to happen at the end?
Yeah, what's it going to look like?
Yeah, that's it. So, okay, so about your business. So what made you decide to, like, open up your own little business and sell, like, your products on the side?
It was just from my friends and family saying, I want this on something.
Yeah.
I want this in my house or something like that. So I just decided... I'll just go for it and see how it goes.
And it's going well.
Yeah. I had started on a website called Society 6. So they kind of printed everything for you. Just put the design up and placed it how you want it.
Yeah.
And then in August this year, I left Society 6 and kind of went out on my own and have started doing it on my own.
Yeah.
On
my
own.
How are you finding that experience so far?
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I love packing the orders.
I love it.
Doing more.
That's so cool.
And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And so how do you decide? Because I know you've got like a wide range of items. Like you have the calico bags, you have hats, you have mugs, you have t-shirts, you have like the art by itself. How do you decide what to print on what? Because I know that you don't print every single design on every single thing. How do you make that decision?
Yeah, it's actually one of the most difficult things, trying to decide which ones people will like on like on a t-shirt or on a bag, which one work the best. So I've been looking, I do print it all.
It's the candy cane theory.
I print like one up and see
how it
looks.
And
it ultimately comes down to whether or not I like it. I like to like the product.
Yeah. Yeah, that you're going to provide to people.
Yeah.
And so in terms of like runs, do you do relatively small runs?
Yes.
Okay. And like at what point do you think that you might make some of those runs bigger or smaller or
still trying to figure out which ones work the best and which ones people like the most.
Yeah.
So I think once I
figured that out.
And
so I know. Oh dear. Ted has lost his self out in the tutoring center out there, guys. So in terms of that, so I also know that a lot of like art businesses do like seasonal runs, like they do like a season product launch and then they don't do something, just killing my elbows. They don't do something for a while those products sell. Is yours based on that sort of idea or is yours just like a continual process?
Yeah, I think it's just when, at the moment, sort of when I find the time to sit down and do it all, and it takes a bit of time to upload them all to the website, get it all ready and have it the way that I want it to look and things like that. So just when I find time, but
you're very busy. You're in here a lot.
It probably would follow that sort of seasonal thing where I kind of put something up and then wait
for that to be sold.
And then I think the way that I've sort of, when I started it all, I think the first products went up in September and then the latest ones went up in
was only the other week.
November. So they are sort of following
They are sort of following that pattern as well. Which I would, that's hard questions.
But I find that sort of aspect fascinating because obviously, I mean, my business is quite different, but in terms of the way that you are producing these products and the way that those products are going to be available down the track, are you ever like, do you ever feel pressured to like sit down and be like, oh, I've got to do a drawing because like I haven't put something up for a while? Do you ever get that?
I try not to. I try to.
Otherwise, it just stops everything.
Yeah,
stops creativity.
I try to think to myself, it'll
come.
Yeah, when it does.
Yeah.
But when I'm super busy or something, I'm not feeling.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah. You don't have that space to give yourself to.
Sit down
and create something like that.
Yeah.
See, I find all of that really fascinating as well.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, you can't put pressure on yourself. But now that you're selling the products, it's sort of, I guess, like a really fine line to balance. But then in saying that, like, if you have products that you perhaps have sold out of and been sold out for a while, then you would be able to, like, oh, I might do another run of.
So in my latest product launch, I did a rerun of one of my previous t-shirts, which was my first rerun.
Okay, was that the that was the one that I got the bag? What I thought.
So that was exciting. I had a lot of positive feedback for that particular drawing.
I really like that drawing.
Thank you. That's the million drawing for
anyone out there. So what's the million drawing about? Can you tell us about what that drawing is about?
That is the only one
that
is not named after anything.
Okay.
It just sort of...
It just occurred.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name of that drawing?
That was the same thing. It just popped into my head. I looked at it. I was trying to figure it out.
Divine intervention.
Yeah. Nothing was like... coming to me, and then it popped in. I was like, oh, okay, there we go.
So that's fascinating. What's one of your favorite designs that you've done?
I really like this. I did a commissioned drawing earlier in the year, and it was a face at the front, and then the background was of Europe, the outline of Europe.
Oh, wow.
And my friend Ella had commissioned that because we were supposed to go on a trip together, but obviously given the
circumstances it didn't happen.
Yeah, so she asked for that that drawing to incorporate something to do with Europe, and then that one I did plan out and designed it, and then
did you find it harder when you are doing things like commission because there's a particular thing that person wants it to be connected to?
Yeah, I do find it more difficult, and especially if they say, oh, you go for it, you come up with something. I sit there thinking, oh gosh, nothing's coming to me, I don't have no idea what to do. I had one of those a couple of weeks ago, and I sat there trying to think how I could do this. I tried a couple of different ways, and I just wasn't happy with it. And then I left it for a few days and came back to it, and then
it just sort of flowed from there.
Yeah.
So what's another, like, one? What's one of the drawings of an individual that you have done that perhaps an individual that you were really connected to in a way? And, like, why did you decide to do that drawing? I don't know.
I've got to think of one now. I really... really liked the one that I did. It's called Ava.
Mm-hmm.
It was from my friend Ava.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really liked that one. As soon as I did it, I knew exactly what it was going to be for. I knew exactly who it represented and how that drawing kind of connected to that person.
Yeah.
I really, really liked that one. It's one of my favourites now that I've done.
So when you're connecting it to a person, is it... it's not just like the facial features of that person?
No, it's sort of, I don't know.
More abstract.
Yeah, a bit, more.
Okay. So it sort of maybe connects to like some elements of the person's personality or things that they enjoy doing and
things
like that.
Yeah, or I'll see the drawing once I finished it. So
yeah.
10. Once you, when you're doing a one line,
yeah,
you're not really looking
you're too
at
close.
The rest.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
So you're just focusing on
the line
where you're up to.
Yeah.
And then you kind of step back. So it's when you step back and
you see it in
the
table.
Yeah. And it usually just pops right in.
That's so fascinating. And so do you have like big plans for like where you want the business to go, or are you just sort of do it as it comes, or?
Yeah, I am still trying to sort of just do it as it comes,
yeah.
But I definitely have big goals and things. I'd love to do it a little bit more and spend a little bit more time on it, but as things go and I learn a little bit more about business and things, because
it's
still brand new.
it's a big learning curve.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll
so
continually learn, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I like hearing people's feedback and their interpretations of it and things, because I think it helps me sort of figure it out as
well.
Yeah,
that's it, and, like, fine-tune your art and things.
Yeah.
Has your art teacher seen your stuff recently?
I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
That would be really interesting. But was it a female?
Yeah.
That would be really interesting.
It would be,
her
perspective
too. Yeah, that's something you can get onto.
I went to my auntie's house for the first time since she'd moved and since COVID.
Yeah.
And she had some of my work up from when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
And I looked at it and I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh,
it's
that's so
totally
beautiful
different.
Though.
Yeah.
But see, that,
lovely.
I mean, it shouldn't be different though because.
Yeah.
We grow as people and individuals, and obviously, like, as you grow and your personality grows and moves with you, your artwork is going to do the same.
Yeah,
which
is
so special.
Yeah, we were talking about it in my family about how much it's changed and how much, even just the way that I go about it now, it's much, it flows a lot better and definitely.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was so nice to see it, but yeah, it's definitely changed some.
That's
Since.
A good thing that has changed, but
yeah.
I also think we are too critical of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're too close to ourselves and we're way too critical of what we create and what we do as well. I just find the whole thing fascinating.
Thank you.
So do you have anything else that you're planning to do? Like, are you going to stick with like the line drawing in particular, or?
I think so. I'd love to incorporate something else just to give it a new sort of element to it, but I'm still working on the logistics of it and how it would work and how it would look. And
do you have like a different medium that you also enjoy just as much as line drawing that you think? Like,
I don't actually. My mum's a photographer, so I've thought about maybe trying it over over a photo or something.
Oh, that's cool.
But I also
I
think also it would look quite cool on ceramics and things.
Oh,
I'm really trying to
ceramics.
Yeah, I think
that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would look really cool.
Yeah.
I have a home in ceramic mugs. And they, where are they from? They're like from up there somewhere. So when I first moved out of home, I moved in with they're from Armidale, somewhere around Armidale. So the girl that I moved in with originally, her parents lived in Armidale and she had these coffee mugs. And so they got me a set of four because I'm like, these are awesome. Anyway, so they're ceramic mugs, but they've got like musical notes and things on there.
Yeah.
And then they've got like musical artists attached to them as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And so like something, I feel like your design would look really cool on something like that.
Yeah,
where,
and I'd love to get into like hand painting and things.
Yeah, so that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I reckon that's such a cool idea.
Thank
I'm
you.
Really interested to see where you take this business. Just popped in again.
I'm big.
Oh my goodness. But I'm really fascinated to see where you take that. But
thank
that would be
you.
Such an awesome idea.
Yeah, I just have to figure out how to
do it.
Yeah.
Would you actually like create the ceramics yourself, do you think?
Oh, I don't know, because I think it's quite a skill.
go learn for a few years.
Yeah, so I think I could team up with someone.
That's cool.
Possibly, because I know a friend who does ceramics, so I might have to talk to her and see if
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you distribute nationally?
I've had orders from around Australia, except
that's exciting.
The Northern Territory. That's the only one left.
Same deal.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I had my first order from Victoria last week.
Oh, cool.
At least this is such a big thing for you.
Yeah.
My business brain is like going so psycho right now. I'm so happy for you. So happy for you. I think that it's just an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you.
I'm not going to chime in on anything else because I've missed about probably
20 minutes. We're pretty much at the finish line.
Okay, at the finish line. All right.
You've joined us. All
right. I've joined the right time. I have to just absolutely say I think it's amazing. I'm going to definitely follow your work.
Thank you.
And I'm going to, whenever appropriate, I will promote your work.
Thank you.
Whenever appropriate.
Well, and you can't like walk into a boardroom and say, look at this.
You would.
Well, I would do you it. You probably can't do it. But anyway, I just want to say before I go again, it's been such a pleasure sitting here talking to you and learning a little bit about, a bit more about who Elise is. And yeah, I'm definitely a fan.
Thank you.
Fangirling
in the corner.
I am fangirling. I think it's such a skill.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you should be very proud of what you've done.
I'm
proud of you.
Thank you.
Anyway, so thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's been my absolute pleasure. We've really enjoyed talking to you. And I'm so excited to see what you do in the future.
Thank you.
Super, super excited.